I just need to give you guys a warning. The story I'm about to tell you has a scene that's graphic in nature, involving children and bodily fluids. So if you're eating soup or in the middle of your latte, you might want to finish that before I get to that part. Anyway, for the last 28 years, I've worked out in Montanero at a residential outdoor science school called KEEP, and KEEP stands for Kern Environmental Education Program. And every week throughout the school year, and sometimes during the summer, we'll get anywhere from 60 to 120 students and their teachers and their chaperones and counselors, and they come to our facility out there. And they come on Monday. They leave on Friday. We take them for walks along the trails and coastlines of Montanadero and Morro Bay State Park. We teach them science, natural history, environmental science. And if they're not out on the trails, they're at our camp, our facility in Montanadero State Park. And while they're there, we feed them, we house them, we entertain them, we provide transportation, we attend to their needs. And when you have a lot of kids, over 100 kids in an area, there's a lot of needs to attend to. There's things like homesickness, there's disagreements, arguments, crushes, breakups, first aid, okay? It could be like minor first aid, like a Band-Aid for a cut, or it could be a midnight run to the hospital. Or it could be trying to convince a boy that the reason his stomach hurts is because he hasn't pooped for 4 days, and you better go try, okay? Or it could be removing a tick from a little girl's neck and then watching her horror transform into fascination as you put the tick underneath a dissecting scope, and she's looking and realizing that that's her skin in the tick's mouth parts, okay? It's a pretty tremendous week of growth for these students. They come there, and a lot of these kids that we get have never been away from home before, and so that's a big growing experience. Some of these kids have never even all they've walked on is the pavement, sidewalks, and asphalt, and so getting them out there on the trails is great for them. A lot of the kids have never seen the ocean before. I can't tell you how many times I've had a kid look at me and go, can I touch it? It's like, yeah, touch it. Is it really salty? It's like, yeah, taste it. It's kind of fun, kind of gratifying like that. I get teachers that tell me, they say, Dean, you don't realize how much these children change when they come to your program. They come back different people. It is literally, for many kids, a rite of passage for these students. For me, it's just a great job. I mean, I get to walk along the coastline there. I'm outside. Plus, I'm with the kids, and it's a good time. And one of my favorite parts, I mean, the trails and everything are great, but one of my favorite parts is actually at the end of the day when we've sung the last song at campfire and the sun-kissed children have, you know, slipped off to bed and they're in their bunks and settled down. And then it's just me and the teachers and the adults around the campfire. And there's something about being around a campfire. It's mesmerizing. You're staring at the flames and the coals. It's dynamic. It's like looking at a river or the ocean. It's always changing. And it brings forth conversation and stories and jokes. And it's so nice just being outside under the stars or hearing the frogs croak off in the distance or watching deer slip silently by. It's beautiful. But then 10 o'clock rolls around and I'm off work. And there's some weeks everybody's gone to bed, and at 10:01, I'm down the road. I'm gone. But then there's other weeks when it's beautiful. The constellations are out, and we're listening to the ocean boom in the distance, and conversation's great, and the jokes are great, and I stay. But if I stay, that comes with a risk. Because if something happens, I got to deal with it. And so it could be minor. It could be a kid needs a hit on his inhaler, or maybe some Tylenol for a headache, or it could be worse. It could be like that one particular night. It was probably about 10:04, and I was saying my goodbyes. I was getting ready to go. I was almost gone when all of a sudden this counselor comes running out of one of the boys' cabins. They sleep about 14. They're actually trailers. And he comes running out, and he's going, "Code Red! Code Red! We got a Code Red over here! Somebody help Code Red!" And I'm thinking to myself, "Code Red? we don't even have a code red. What the hell is this guy talking about? So I go over, I go, what's going on? He's like, oh, somebody threw up. It's all over the place. I said, don't worry. I said, we can deal with this. We've dealt with it before. Is he on a bottom bunk or a top bunk? He goes, he's on the bottom bunk. I said, okay, that's great. It's going to make it a lot easier to deal with. That's great. So we're walking up to the cabin. As I get up to the cabin, there's boys just boiling out of the cabin, just gagging and carrying on because of the smell in there. And I walk into the building, and illuminated by the flashlights, there's no electricity in the buildings, there's a boy sitting on a top bunk. He's not on a bottom bunk. He's on a top bunk. And he's sitting on the top bunk, stone still, partially in his sleeping bag with a trash can in his lap. And I walk up to him, and I'm about eye level with the top bunks, too, so I can see what's going on up there. And I get there to where he is, and I realize why he's sitting so stone still. Because where he's sitting, his butt has made a crater in the mattress. And in the crater is a lake of vomit. And it's cascading over the sides and down onto the floor. And I'm looking on the floor, and I realize there's some shoes I'm going to have to empty, backpacks and other garments I'm going to have to deal with. And through the dribbling globs of vomit, I can see on the lower bunk, there's another boy pressed up against the wall, his eyes wide with fear, his hand covering his mouth, no doubt trying to figure out how he's going to escape these streams of vomitus coming out. And so I find him an escape route, and he gets out and scampers out the door. And I turn to the sick boy. I say, can you just sit there and just stay right there just for a little bit? I got to get some stuff to clean this up. And he nods, so I leave. And as I'm leaving, the counselor's like, oh, Dean, I really love to help you, but I can't, because just the smell of vomit is just going to make me throw up. I'm like, yeah, well, whatever, you know. I'm on my own on this one. So I go back. I get paper towels, plastic bags, rags, disinfectant, kitty litter, headlamp, plastic apron, elbow-length gloves, hazmat suit. I'm geared up. I go back. And I walk in there, and the first thing I'm like, okay, I got to get a landing area for this kid to come off the mattress, right? So I'm cleaning stuff up. I'm sprinkling kitty litter everywhere, disinfectant, bagging stuff up. I get the landing area. I get him off, send him off with the counselor to go take a shower and clean him up. And then I'm up on the top, kitty litter, disinfectant, scraping things up with dustpans, putting it in the trash can, getting it all. And I'm thinking to myself, I got this. Okay, I got a handle on this. And all of a sudden, this counselor from a totally different trailer comes in the door. He's like, Dean, I just had a guy throw up in my trailer. I said, are you serious? He's like, yeah, you guys, is he on a bottom bunk or a top bunk? He goes, a bottom bunk. I said, are you sure? He's like, yeah, yeah. I said, well, I can't deal with that right now. I got to deal with this. And so I haul the mattress out. I hose it off. I'm sprinkling kitty litter, sweep it up, disinfectant, mop the trailer, get the boys back in there. Then I go to the other trailer, which is a totally different scene. This actually works pretty good because he was on a bottom bunk. And when the kid barfed, he just turned into his pillow and his jacket, and it just all went there, and it just absorbed it all. It was the neatest way to clean it up. It was so awesome. It just, it was done, all right? But I had to haul that mattress out too, hose that off, get the boys back in there. Now I've got bags of vomit-laden stuff that I have to clean. And it's not like I can just throw it in the washing machine. I got to hose it out. So I'm behind the building with my headlamp, hosing stuff off, emptying shoes, pillow went in the dumpster. Okay. Now I've got everything all washed and cleaned and, you know, not washed, but hosed off, ready to be laundered. And I bring it into the laundry room, and I finally get a load of laundry in there at 12:30 at night. So then I get home about 1 o'clock. I crawl into bed knowing full well I'm going to be right back at that camp at, you know, it's 7 in the morning, smile on my face, Friday morning, saying hi to the kids, high-fiving them, and saying goodbye to them and giving hugs to these kids with tears in their eyes saying it was the best week of their life. And it's now I sit there at the campfire and I'm relaxing with the parents, talking, the stars are out, and it's a beautiful night. And 10 o'clock rolls around, and I always ask myself, should I stay or should I go?